you have a Bible with you today, if you turn with us to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, which our custom is, which their custom was. That's something that we've not come up with, but we want to honor the reading of the Word of God. If there's ever been a time and a day when God's people need to stand for the Word, it is in this day and in this hour. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged, which you dig not, vineyards and olive trees that you planted not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. Shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people, which are round about you. Verse 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies before thee as the Lord hath spoken. Now, verse 23. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the goodness of God. Lord, I've seen you work so much in the sanctuary, and I'm thankful that you are a God that works. You're a God that witnesses. You're a God that warns. And I pray you'd help us in the preaching time this morning. God, I pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct me. And Spirit of God, I pray in these days you'd teach me to exalt the precious Son of God. Help us today now in our families and these young people. I pray for our nation today. God, you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach a few minutes this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And from a text verse being number 12, he said, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." And I want to preach on this simple topic today on believers beware. Believers beware. Now, here the Lord has given some instruction. Turn to the left in your Bible and let's look at Deuteronomy 5 this morning. And God is giving these 10 commandments to His people. He's given these commandments, which are 10. And I want to say today that God's commandments are not obsolete, but they are absolute. God's commandments are not obsolete, but absolute. Now, I'm going to go through this passage and then bring with you what's upon my heart, but I want to ask you, would you recognize something this morning? We're saved by grace through faith. We cannot live good enough to go to heaven. That's why God sent His Son to take your sin and my sin on Calvary's cross. And He didn't spill His blood, He shed His blood, that we could be redeemed. So we don't go to heaven by the works of the law. But I want to say something. God's 10 commandments are not obsolete. They're absolute. And if we all lived by them, and if our country applied them, look what a better nation we would have this morning. Look what a better community that we have. Matter of fact, every trouble in this building today, in your life and my life, stems from one of these 10. And if everybody took heed and applied these in our lives, I'm going to tell you, life would be a lot easier. I've heard this said, "Well, I'm not going to live by the 10 commandments because they just bind me up." Oh, no, honey. The 10 commandments are God's boundaries that bring us freedom from sin and freedom from this wicked society. God gave us boundaries to keep us free. A lot of times I hear people say, "Well, I'm leaving the house. There's too many rules." Rules are good. Rules keep us out of trouble. And you think that rules brings bondage, but rules don't bring bondage. Rules brings freedom. Now, I want you to notice this in Deuteronomy 5, and I'm going to get into where I want to preach. But I want to highlight, I want you to understand where they are. Deuteronomy 5, this is a repetition from Exodus 20. And here, Moses is dictating what God has said. Now, Deuteronomy 5, verse 7, "Thou shalt have none other gods before me." Little g's. There's one God. The God of the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that's going to judge me and you one day. The God we're all going to stand before one day. And He says, "Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image or any likeness." Verse 9, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For look, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Verse 11 is the fourth. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." Verse 12 is the fifth. "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee." We realize now in the New Testament church, Jesus has instructed us, because He got out of the grave on the first day of the week. Now we assemble ourselves together on the first day of the week, recognizing it as the Lord's day. That's the day that we set aside. Work 6 days and worship God upon the first day of the week. So He still has His day. Now, verse 16, number 6, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. Wonder how many children have cut their life short because they no longer honored their father and mother in what they had to say and to do. Verse 17, number 7, thou shalt not kill. That would solve a lot of problems in America today. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. When people have sex outside of the marriage, it's wrong in the eyes of God. The Bible calls it adultery. And it's still wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Neither shalt thou steal. Boy, that would knock Security Solutions out of business this morning. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt covet thy neighbor's house or his field or his men's servant or anything that is his neighbor's. Now, believers, beware. I want to preach a few minutes on the home this morning and our children out of this chapter of Deuteronomy 6. And let's look what the Lord wants us to have today. I want to say America is in a tailspin. Our homes is at an all-time rate. Matter of fact, there are so many children in America that are fatherless. The problem today is not dropout kids, it's dropout parents. And in 1960, there was 5.1 million children that were unattended by the father in the home. 1960, 5.1 million. In 1993, those stats went to 15.6 million children without the influence of a father figure in their home. In 2014, those stats from 1993 to 2014, they jumped 2.2 million, 17.4 million children, or 23.6% of the children in America does not have a father's influence in their life. Or in that home, that's sad. I'm not a preacher that throws people under the bush. I know there are some reasons of that. Reasons that are justifiable. But I'm going to say the main reason is there's not enough men that will man up and be a man and raise their children that they brought in this world. Now, our society and the family, our family, I'm a family man. I believe in the family. I believe in the local church. And I believe that our church will never be stronger than its families. Our nation will never be stronger than its families. And there are a lot of things that's against your family this morning. Against my family. First of all, I want to say today that there's a electronic rivers that I call electronic cesspools that are flowing all through this nation and our homes and our churches and our lives. My goodness, technology is flowing at a rate and bringing things upon our lives to make us accustomed that God never intended that we would be accustomed to. Rivers of cesspool. Pornography are running rampant through America. Mom and daddies, you better watch what your children are looking at on those electronic devices. The devil's wife. The internet's a great tool if you use it right. But it can bring devastation and heartache. It's amazing to me. People would just leave, disconnect everything they've ever heard because somebody winked at them on the computer. That's stupid. I mean, somebody send you a message from California. Hey, you're pretty. You look good. Duh. There's an electronic river that's flowing through this nation under everything that we're standing upon today. And it's going against our families. Not only the electronic rivers, but I want to say the educational systems. They cannot teach what the God of this Bible has to say. That's so sad. So let me ask you something. As school starts this week, and we've even had so many great families in education here. Isn't it so sad that you would get fired if you would get up and tell your children what you really want to tell them, what the Bible says? Isn't that sad day in America? It's really no different in educational teachers than it is in preachers. Preachers are so pressured from committees and so they're so pushed in the corner that in the norm they cannot say anything or they'll be voted out and put out in the street. But honey, let me tell you, it ain't vote day at Liberty Baptist Church. It's preaching time! Electronic rivers, educational system. Planned Parenthood. We got a man in this ministry that heads up the West Georgia ministry against abortion. Matter of fact, our children are going to be involved. Our youth of our church is going to stand that day in October against abortion. I'm going to give you these stats and I'll get on into preaching. You see, right now, since 1973, there's been 59.1 million children that have been brought to death by induced abortion. 21% of all pregnancies in the U.S. end in abortion. There's so many things going against our families. Do you understand that, people? So many pressures that's going against our families, against our children. Divorce rate in America is at an all-time high. 53% divorce rate in America. In 1960, it was 20%. I've heard a lot of y'all roll your eyes. It don't matter. I ain't the first time I've ever had eyes rolled at me. But I won't say this. Y'all remember when all that hip-hop, hippie crowd come in the 60s. Y'all remember all them songs? Y'all remember when we used to wear them stacks and bell bottoms? I used to hear all the old timers, man, they'd beat that drum. America started with the Beatles. Well, it's part of it. Music went bad. You are what you listen to. Oh, it's quiet this morning. Now, do y'all want a preacher or you want a puppet? Believers, beware. So we've got electronic rivers. We've got educational systems. You know, before I left Pepsi-Cola in the corporate world, they'd give me mandates of what I could do, what I could say in public meetings. Didn't want to offend nobody. You know, we can't do that, preacher. We know you're a preacher, but you can't. Man, you can't do that. No, but I can be a Christian. I might not can get up and read my Bible, what thus saith the Word of God, but they can't take that light out of my heart. Young people, we might not can publicly pray in Bowden High School this week, but you can if you want to. The teachers might not can rally you together to get you to pray, but you can rally together and pray for your teachers. Can I say that again? Young people, y'all just come from camp meeting. Y'all should be shouting the preacher on. Y'all the quietest ones there. Our great educators, and let me tell you something, we got some great teachers. We got great principals. We got some great mom and daddies that go to these schools and look about these children. And children, these teachers might not can lead a prayer vigil for you during the English exam, but you can pray for your teachers. So many things coming against our families. And we must realize where we are. And in these commandments, do you see if these Ten Commandments were practiced in our society and in our homes, what such a better place it would be for all of us to live? They've taken them down from the courthouse. They've taken them out of the libraries. Because some liberal politician had a problem. Now, let's get down to where the rubber meets the road this morning. Believers, beware. Three things I want to say and I'm done. Please look in verse 4 and 5. There's a family teaching to realize. It's a family teaching to realize. Secondly, there's a family track to regularize. But then there's a family trend to recognize. Now these three things, they're found in Deuteronomy 6 right here. I want to share with you the Word of God. Look, this family teaching to realize. Look in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Family teaching, we are to realize, God has given us this manual to raise our family by. Now, let me ask y'all something. This week we start into a new school year. God has laid on my heart to do some things with our children here this morning. But first of all, I want to say this. Within the teaching of this Word of God, there's family teaching we must realize. The school cannot teach what God wants your children taught. So that means you've got to do it. Because it's your responsibility to do. See, this is what we want to do. We want to have children. We want to send them someplace and let somebody else handle all that. But that ain't God's way. God wants you to handle it God's way. So here is a family teaching to realize. Verse 5, look what he says. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Daddies, mamas, it's got to be in your heart first. How can you teach somebody something that you don't know nothing about? You've got to get God in your heart before you can teach God to your children's heart. There must be a sincere love, thou shalt. Then verse 5. There must be not only a sincere love, but a selfish love. Verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. That's everything that's in me this morning. Oh my goodness, with all thy soul. A sincere love, a selfish love, but then a strong love. Verse 5, look what he says. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and look here, with all of your might. In other words, God wants it all. God wants it all. The family teaching to realize. But then verse 6, there's a family track to regularize. There's a family track that God wants us on. Wants me on. Wants you on. What is that track? Well, look what it says. He wants us to teach our children. And matter of fact, he just got through with chapter 5, giving them the Ten Commandments. This is what God is wanting taught to our children. These Ten Commandments. And so he says this family track to regularize. Now, verse 6, teach them convictionally. We ought to have a conviction in our heart ourselves to teach our children. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Then we ought to teach them consistently. Verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. You know, consistency is everything raising children. Some of you, when you get tired of your young ones, instead of being consistent, you just knock a fire out of them. Flip them over the bathroom counter. And they look at you like, well, you didn't do that yesterday. Why'd you do that today? Consistent. Teaching. Well, here's a verse that you ought to underline in your Bible. Look in Isaiah 28 and 9. When do I start teaching my children, preacher? Let's look what the Bible says. Isaiah 28 and verse number 9. I want you to find this and underline it. Isaiah 28, 9. Who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, an early child. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Consistent. Be consistent in teaching your children the Ten Commandments. The Bible wants us to teach our children. Now, back to the text, Deuteronomy 6. The family tract, teach them convictionally. Teach them consistently. But look in verse 7. Teach them creatively. Thou shalt teach them diligently in thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Creatively. Work with your children. It's not just the preacher's job. Quit demanding the school to teach your children. Quit demanding the church to teach your children. And you teach your children. Be creative in it. Have fun with it at home. I'll give you a great little policy I've done. Back about maybe 2 years ago, Parker had a Frisbee. And he took and he throwed it up on top of the house. He come, he said, hey, Pop, would you go get that Frisbee down? I said, where's it at? He said, well, it's up on top of the house. I walked up there and looked. I said, well, how'd that get up there? He said, I throwed it. I said, you know, Parker, if you do foolish things, then you get foolish results. Just let it stay up there and I'll walk in the house. And so Renee sort of pouted a little bit because I didn't get it down. And so it rocked on about a week and Parker would walk by and we'd go out there cutting grass. I'd say, Parker, look at that Frisbee up on the roof. One day I got Parker and I took him down. I said, Parker, I'm going to get a ladder and stick. We're going to get that down off house. But this is what I want you to always remember. When you do silly things, you're going to get silly results. And I got it down. You know what? He ain't slung it back on the roof no more. Teaching your children creatively. Letting it be a lifestyle. Then verse 7. Teach them conversationally. He said, simply, talk of them when thou settest in thine house. What are you talking to your kids about? Talk to them about the Lord. Church isn't boring. Church serving God is wonderful. You see, he's not talking just about on Sunday. He's talking about training children a track to regularize conversationally. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. We ought to train them conspicuously. Look, thou shalt bind them for a sign on thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You say, what was that about, preacher? Well, the Jews, they made little leather boxes with a leather wrist strap. They'd put them verses in that and they'd tie it around their wrist called phylacteries. And they were reminded every day that those scriptures were with them everywhere they went. Said they'd even put them up on their forehead. But what I want to get to you, they put them on the doorpost of their house. I wonder how many Christian signs are in your home today. If somebody walked in your house, could they look at the influence of Scripture in your home that you're making a statement that God owns this property? Family teaching to realize. Family tract to regularize. I've heard somebody say, well, I've even said it myself. It's easy preaching. It's hard living. Don't whip your kids when you're mad. Well, when you going to whip them? You going to get up on Saturday morning and say, oh, it's sunny. It's a great day to go to the park. Honey, bring the kids. Let's whip the kids. Let's whip the kids today. Let's whoop the kids today. I mean, sunshine, it ain't rain. Come on in here. We're going to whoop y'all today. Some of you need to get a little upset at your kids. And you need to discipline. You don't beat kids. You discipline kids. Oh, it's shining today, honey. Let's go whoop kids. So, he's teaching us that believers are to beware because there's family teaching to realize. We must realize God wrote this to help us, not to hurt us. There's a family tract to regularize. I guarantee you, everybody's different. Personalities are so different. There are no cookie-cutter children. There are really no books written to tell you how to run your kid, but this book. This book is a fix-all. Now, lastly, then I'm done preaching. The family teaching to realize, the family tract to regularize. But lastly, look in verse 10. There's a family trend to recognize. He says, I tell you what you better get a grip on. When you go to getting blessed, don't you forget about me. I sent out a thing on media this week. I shared it. Some of y'all seen it. It was a mom and daddy had on overhauls. They was bent over an old couch in a living room, all of them praying together. You know something? I want to say this, and I want to explain what I'm going to say. They needed God. And this is the problem with America. They don't think they need God, but we need God more than we've ever needed God. He said, just because I've been so good to you, why do you want to forget about me? I've blessed you so. Don't forget about the blesser. Now look what your Bible says. This family trend to recognize, there's a trend of forgetting in verse 12. He said, and I want to say this right here, young people. I want y'all to look at this in your Bible. I want you to underline. I'm about done preaching. All houses full of all good things. We've got it made. We're so blessed. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with having things. Swing for the fence. Dream big. Work hard. Put God first. And have great things with God. But don't let things have you. Thank God I get to pastor a prosperous people. Thank God we have a prosperous ministry in missions. Thank God people here is doing good and paying their tithes on it. But what God wants us to realize is this. God wants to bless, but don't forget about the blesser. Family trend to recognize the trend of forgetting. Oh, how America has forgotten. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget about where you come from. Young kids, when other kids can't dress like you and they can't drive what many of you will be able to drive and they can't live in what you live in, be careful. Don't never look down your nose at nobody because they don't have what your mom and daddy's been blessed with. Don't never point your finger and make fun. When I went to school, I wore the kids' clothes from down the street and was glad to get them. But they'd make fun at how mama put darts in my britches. Holes in my britches. Clothes too big and baggy. They made fun of me. They shamed me. God has blessed us. When I was in the sixth grade, my mom and dad didn't have the money to buy public lunches. I worked in the cafeteria to pay for my lunch. They'd line up in the window and they would rag and they'd make fun. Oh, look, Ken's family's poor. Yeah, they was poor. But honey, we had something that this world knows nothing about. We had the Lord Jesus in our house. I'd rather have Him than anything in this world this morning. I know where my bread's buttered.
Yes, sir.
You see, the family trend to recognize, the trend of forgetting. Verse 13, the trend of forsaking. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. And then the trend of not following. Verse 14, He said, ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. You know why? He's a jealous God. God's a jealous God. God don't want other gods in your life and between you and Him. That's what I want to do this morning. Even before I had this message, I had this on my heart to do with all of our school kids today. As a whole, our community starts to school this week. They're facing a lot. Mom and Daddy's facing a lot. And Mom and Daddy's, let me tell you, it's not going to get no easier without God. Your flesh will tell you to push God to the side. We can't make time for God. But when you don't take time out for God, you're taking time out for troubles coming your way that you can't handle. Now, all of our kids are starting school this morning. I want you to come. Or starting this week or next week. I want you to come. All of our school-age children. From first grade to seniors, I want you all to come this morning. I want you all to come. I want you to come. Your mom and dad are scared of the preacher, but I'm glad y'all are not scared of the preacher. Y'all to come. Lord, what a blessing. What a blessing. Pre-K. Pre-K, pre-K, pre-K. I don't care. What a blessing. I hope she gets up there and sings, I'll Fly Away. going to ask y'all people something this morning. Just as a man, as your preacher, I want to ask y'all something. Why wouldn't I preach to them? Why wouldn't I think enough of you to do what's right out of that pulpit? Mom and Daddy, why wouldn't you want to teach them what the Lord said? Children, look here. Jesus loves you. Your church loves you. You see these people here, some of the best people in this community sitting here with you this morning. If you ever need any of them, you let them know. And y'all look here, you see your preacher? Renee, you stand up. This is the preacher's wife. That's a good woman. If she can help you, you call her. Brother Adam, stand up. Miss Gayla, this is your youth pastor. Pastor's wife. Stand up, Miss Gayla. Brother Mike, Miss Sheila, y'all stand up. This our assistant pastor and his wife. If y'all need us, let us know. Now, Mom and Daddies, everybody stand up. If you need some of these people, you look out to them. They love you, children. And they're for you.